Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
It's just a good conversation with someone you didn't know you were interested in. I'm Matt Leon, and this is One-on-One, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love.
I was doing an intramural flag football game, and one of the girls had made me upset, and I full-on tackled her, and the UNI coach happened to be there and said, do you want to come try out this full-contact sport? And after my first practice, I was hooked, you know, through high school, all that fun stuff. I would foul out of every basketball game, etc. So getting to go into a full-contact sport was really special.
And our guest this week is Kelsey McDowell. She has been named the inaugural head coach of the LaSalle University varsity women's rugby program. And Kelsey, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So why was this the right opportunity for you at the right time?
I mean, well, the right time could be debatable. I've been at Army for about a year, moved here from the state of Iowa, first time living outside the Midwest. But the opportunity that came about with LaSalle is the amount of resources they've put into this program and getting to build something from the ground up with the culture that I really have in mind, and just making it like kind of my baby and bringing in, you know, the girls I've coached in high school and stuff. So it's really the opportunity is that LaSalle is doing it right. They're investing the resources required to make a successful program, and it's hard not to jump at that going from an assistant coach to a head coach.
They have had club at LaSalle. Does that help when you're building to have that to build off of, or is it really kind of just a different animal?
It's going to be a different animal. So the alum have definitely reached out from LaSalle. They're already really excited from the former club team. I believe that closed during the 2020-2021 era. So it's been a couple years since they've had the club. But to have an alumni base that's super enthusiastic is definitely a positive. It's just going to be a way different culture versus club varsity. I've done both now. And it's a different kind of build.
From that standpoint, like, where do you start?
Honestly, it's going to me building out the culture and kind of what I want to like bring in with the girls. So when the girls are coming in, they're going to ask questions about what that looks like and be able to answer it. It's not just about the campus. It's also about coaching technique. Like, they're going to be a student athlete. Students always first, you know, and that's always been a big proponent of mine wherever I've coached. So it's really just getting the groundwork laid out and then showing it to the girls.
Now, you have only been on the job for a little bit here. What has the early days been here as we're recording this near the end of July?
Yeah, everyone's just been super, super positive, super supportive at the university. I've gotten to meet our athletic director and then, you know, all the other athletic directors, support staff, and they're all super positive. The other coaches have been incredible, and you can tell that they're doing something they're really passionate about and that they're really invested in. So what they're doing at LaSalle is investing more in the athletics program, and it's really showing.
What is your timeline going forward as far as when will you start actually competing?
So fall of 2025 is the official timeline. My goal, though, is to get stuff going this spring with sevens, even with some local girls, like, you know, that are maybe interested in rugby, get the schedule going, get kind of those kinks worked out before we go into an actual championship season in 2025.
How much of your roster building will be recruiting within the campus, maybe kids that played in high school or have an interest or maybe play other sports and this would translate, and how much is just going to be bringing in student athletes from high school and just kind of building that way?
Yeah, the goal is to bring in student athletes for sure. I mean, end of the day, enrollment needs to like go up, and that's part of the reason they're investing into athletics is to get student athletes in and get enrollment numbers up. I've never objected to bringing in walk-ons. I myself was a walk-on. I had never played rugby until I went to university. So those athletes translate over. Like, we're going to do tryouts. We're going to do that. We're going to see, like, rugby's all-inclusive. So the options are out there, but we definitely want a good, strong recruiting class for that fall of 2025.
So now I want to talk a little bit about the sport. I think people are familiar in vague terms. If you had to elevator pitch me rugby, how would you do it?
The most annoying elevator pitch that I get is it's a mix between soccer and football, but it's not. It's full contact, no pads. The ball is like kind of like looks like a fatter football. You can only pass backwards, and it actually is like football originates from rugby. So when you hear of a touchdown in rugby, you actually have to touch the ball down for it to count as a score. So different things like that. It's really the grandfather of football, and it's much more raw, much more intense, and no timeouts. If you get subbed out of a game, you can't go back on. So the strategy piece of it, you're playing offense, defense, special teams all the time. So high endurance, high work rate, all of that fun stuff.
How does it work from a timing standpoint, scoring standpoint, stuff like that?
So timing standpoint, we have 15s and 7s. Rugby. Sevens rugby is actually kicking off of the Olympics. I don't know how our boys did, but they had their first Olympic game today at 10:30 this morning. I'll have to look at that once we get out of here. But in sevens, it's 2 7-minute halves with 7-on-7 people. In 15s, it's 2 40-minute halves with 15-on-15. And the scoring, sorry, going back to the scoring standpoint of it, if you touch the ball down, it's worth 5 points in the try zone. And then the kick afterwards is worth 2. But you have to kick it from whatever the angle is that you brought it in at. So it's ideal to center it, is what they say, right between the post, because then your extra 2 points are dead on versus a corner kick.
And really, just from the little bit you talked about there and maybe the little bit people have seen, you can really see the connective tissue to the sport that we all call football.
Yes. Yeah, I think so. I think especially when you break it down with people as you're watching it, if you just have someone who's never seen it before and throw them in front of the TV, there's probably a lot more questions, but you can definitely relate certain parts of it.
So you mentioned you didn't start playing until college, which for someone who the passion just oozes out of you, talking to you about it, that seems awfully late because you are very young to
thank you.
But like, what was your introduction, and when you're introduced, was there any level of knowledge of rugby prior to really being introduced to it and started playing it?
No, not really. I was doing an intramural flag football game, and one of the girls had made me upset, and I full-on tackled her, and the UNI coach happened to be there and said, do you want to come try out this full-contact sport? And after my first practice, I was hooked, through high school, all that fun stuff. I would foul out of every basketball game, et cetera. So getting to go into a full-contact sport was really special.
And you went to Northern Iowa?
Yes.
So what was the degree, the learning curve once you started playing rugby?
The first year, I was absolutely lost. By the second year, I'd earned a spot in the starting lineup and was still lost, but just being unapologetically aggressive on the field kind of kept that spot for me. And then probably by the third year, I thought I knew what I was doing until I started coaching and I realized I didn't have any clue, really, as a player, like the overall strategy of the game. Could really appreciate my coach after kind of getting into it myself.
You know, I asked you about kind of the basics. From a position standpoint, mm-hmm. the positions are different. Mm-hmm. Are there different responsibilities like in football and such?
Yeah, so especially for 15, sevens is really a speed sport, so anyone can be any position at any given time. If you think about the size of a rugby field, which is slightly bigger than a soccer field, the 7-on-7, there's so much space to run around. Where 15s, it's a lot more like chess. I always say checkers versus chess, where in 15s, you kind of have your more set roles. Your offensive attack strategy is like based on where your field position is going to be based on your role.
What position did you play for the most part?
Hooker.
Okay.
I always get a laugh with people that don't quite know that sport. But it is the person in the scrum that hooks the ball back for possession. So that's where the term comes from.
How long did it take you, or I should say, at what point did you start to become comfortable and felt like you had your hands around the strategy and everything. Was it really when you started coaching that like that everything kind of came together?
Yeah. I mean, so when you start coaching, you realize the outside pieces that you thought they knew what they were doing. I started coaching when I was 22 years old, Southeast Polk High School. We had just started the girls league. There was three team round robin girls. And I just remember me and my assistant coach at the time, Brent Wheeler, we had one ruck that was set, and people that know the sport, it's kind of like a reset piece that sets the offside line. And up until then, the girls had just been popping the ball off the ground. And at that point, we'd lost the game, but we were so excited to see that one piece of a ruck. So the learning curve of how to teach versus just that knowing how to do, it definitely took the solid 12 years I've been doing it.
Why were you good from a playing standpoint? And you mentioned aggressiveness, and that obviously is a big part of it. But what else do you feel like you bring to the table as a player?
A lot of communication as well is needed. My former teammates will still give me a hard time for, you know, they could hear my low, booming voice on the field from one side, and then our captain, who is much smaller, high-pitched, screechy voice on the other, going back and forth, kind of trying to direct field traffic. Otherwise, definitely aggression. The aggression piece of it was like the workhorse. I was never the one scoring up all the points or anything like that, but doing the dirty work on the field was probably what I was most known for.
When did you realize that rugby was just going to be a part of your life going forward? Like, it just was going to be something that no matter what, you were going to be involved in.
It was definitely like my sophomore year of college. I'm like, I want to keep doing this. I want to keep doing this long term. After school, I started trying to play at a club level locally in Des Moines. And it wasn't super competitive at the time. Where you and I was very competitive. We were in the top 16 every year I played, you know, Sweet 16 tournament. Traveling all over. So going from that to more of a social standing wasn't really good for me, but I knew I couldn't like let it go. And that's where we started the Girls High School League in Iowa. And I started coaching to like kind of still want to build that culture of my competitiveness in the sport.
Are there other sports that if women play, it makes you extra interested in them for rugby? I mean, obviously football, flag football is exploding right now. So you've got that. But are there other sports where maybe the skill sets overlap, or if there's success there, you really think it will translate well to rugby?
Absolutely. So flag football is definitely exploding. And we actually at Army, Stevie A. Ricklick, she was a walk-on that played flag football and busted into the Army starting lineup. Her footwork, her catching ability, and her contact was incredible. And the contact, I don't accredit to the flag football piece, but her footwork and her field vision skills, 100%. Like, she was awesome to come as a walk-on and us to get. But otherwise, wrestling is really big right now. Iowa's just sanctioned it, and you can tell the contact skills translate over from wrestling to rugby really, really well. And then, obviously, the endurance and fitness. The other best transfer, I would say, is soccer. There's a lot of similar, like, offsides lines. It is funny because you can tell the soccer players coming in, they try and do their little hip tackles kind of things at first, which don't really go far on the rugby pitch, but they get the flow of the game quicker, I'd say, than most athletes.
Is there room in rugby if you don't have an aggressive mentality or personality? Like, it seems to be a sport that you can't straddle the line. You've got to be all in.
Yeah, you got to be a little weird to like rugby. Yeah. You got to like the contact, the aggression. I mean, I've definitely had players who've come on the, you know, just love the team atmosphere. The culture of the sport is we're all family. We, you know, sit there and beat each other up on the field, but afterwards it's all hugging and like, you know, they're your other sisters and that battle. So, no, I mean, like, there's definitely been players I've coached that aren't super aggressive, but they don't usually get a lot of time on the field. You have to have that niche.
At LaSalle, how many roster spots will you have?
40.
Of the 40, how many would be in the rotation? Like, you know, for people who aren't familiar, like,
absolutely,
you know, how many will be important pieces? And not that other people wouldn't be important, but other people would be more maybe depth, maybe grow the sport, you know, 100%. Stuff like that.
So we can roster 23 in a 15s game. So out of that 40, there's going to be a good chunk that aren't playing like on the varsity level. I did talk to Ash and Dan like in my interview process that I really want to make sure I'm getting some like JV games in, though, because really, especially with the walk-ons that are just really great athletes, the best way you learn is to play and mess up and do it all over again. And then you figure it out and you watch film and coach makes fun of you a little bit, but then you keep going. So 23 will be that, but I am hoping for some B-side games with maybe some D2, D3 teams so our girls can just keep the growth up.
And that kind of, who are you going to be scheduling league-wise? Where are you guys going to be? Is that still TBD? And
no.
what schools is it going to be around here, or are you going to have to really travel?
So we are Division I NIRA, which is an NCAA up-and-coming sport. So we will be playing, once we get into the championship seasons, the Harvards, the Dartmouths, the Quinnipiacs, the Shoes, Sacred Heart University, sorry, acronym there. But yeah, and they're all kind of in this area. There is a Lindenwood just joined, which is out of like St. Charles, Missouri. They're going to have to travel a lot for their schedule, obviously. But otherwise, we have pretty close schools here. I don't know if that'll be 2025, 2026. 2025 will definitely have a set like season and schedule. But the end of the day is we're going to be playing D1 NCAA rugby.
How many matches are you anticipating?
Probably 10 to 12 a year or fall season, and including friendlies.
And that would be like going forward, or is that just like the first year and you might get more as you
That's usually going forward in the fall season. That first year might be a few less. It just depends on like how the roster's built out. If we get everyone on board, full roster of young freshmen that are like, let's go, then I want it that first year we'll hit the ground running, but that's just yet to be seen yet.
And are we talking a weekly cadence like football, once a week?
Yep.
We will have more on One-on-One of our conversation with LaSalle women's rugby coach Kelsey McDowell in just a moment, but right now there's nothing quite like the Honda Accord Hybrid and the CR-V Hybrid when it comes to exhilarating efficiency. With hybrid technology and thrilling capability, these vehicles deliver an electrifying performance on every drive. Discover for yourself what truly makes these hybrids special. Redefine your driving experience with Honda, KBB.com's best value brand of 2023. Contact your local Honda dealer today about the Honda Accord Hybrid and the CR-V Hybrid. And now on One-on-One with Matt Leon, let's return to our conversation with Kelsey McDowell, who is the new women's rugby coach at LaSalle University. So give me some of your favorite memories from playing in college, early days. Like, are the memories more about moments, winning, success, or are they more the camaraderie, the chemistry, things like that?
I mean, my teammates from college are still some of my best friends. Like Megan Flanagan, she's coaching at the University of Northern Iowa now, and I was coaching at Iowa State University before coming here, so we had a little in-state rivalry, but we were all, still best friends. I say the camaraderie, but every UNI player and alum will know, like, the favorite, like, memory if they were on the team of, we had a really big rebuilding year, and we had never missed nationals in 20 years. Our club had never missed the national tournament. And we were on the borderline of the first year missing the national tournament. We were down by 2 points, no time left. And the ball was on about the right outside the 30-yard line for football, like Speak will say. But it was in the corner penalty. So our coach made Jackie Brukovici take the penalty shot from the very corner of the field, which was like a hopeless shot as we all just sat there completely like devastated that we were the first team that was going to break this streak. And she just kicks it, and it goes right up and over the post for 3 points. No time left. We won by a point to go. So that's definitely like the most like chilling, and I could say anyone on that team is probably one of their favorite playing moments.
When it comes to recruiting, are there hotbeds? I'm sure there are rugby hotbeds. And where are they for the most part in the country?
It's getting bigger and bigger because the Midwest is starting to really, really get up there. They just did a tour to New Zealand. So like all those Midwest states, but for like the LaSalle stuff, the EGRL, the New Jersey's like right on the coast here. They're doing an amazing job over at the EGRL, like to really showcase their players and give them the best opportunities possible. So that's kind of local and, a little like more friendly on the budget to go travel to and recruit than maybe going out to California, which is another hotbed for, the rugby world, but it's definitely got to be a bigger event to make it worth it.
Give me context of how the sport is growing. It obviously is, but since you started to now, how much bigger has it gotten?
I mean, even just in Iowa, because that's like the grassroots level, we started with three girls teams in 2012, and they're in over double digits now with two different like brackets. The boys have exploded as well. I mean, when I played, you and I was playing like a varsity team, maybe one or two places had a varsity team. So it's always clubs versus varsity. Now there's NCR, there's NIRA, there's so many different like areas and different divisions to play in. So it's definitely come a long way.
Now, in your coaching, you started a college program at Simpson, right? Back like about 10 years ago.
Yep.
How does that experience help you here?
It's going to be different in that Simpson was D3. So when we started it, you know, there's no scholarships type of a thing when we started that program. So I did a lot of on-campus recruiting and then some outside recruiting, but recruiting for a private school for a $40,000 a year, no athletic scholarship, no, not a lot of other scholarships was a little bit of a strain. But I mean, we got the job done. We finished top five every year I was there at our nationals. And but it's definitely giving me the, I know the some of the obstacles I'm going to hit. I know that I'm going to be told no. Like, I feel bad when girls that I've, you know, coached since 13 with some of the select side stuff, they're like, coach, I'm sorry. I'm like, listen, I'm getting paid now for you to reject me. It's okay. Like, it's all right. Like, you got to do what's best for you. But just like that mindset of like, it's not a personal thing. Like, that's what Simpson taught me a lot of, you know, like, oh, I'm going to UNI because it's $12,000 a year, coach. I'm like, yeah, I can't argue with that. Like, I get that. So it's definitely prepped me for like some of those conversations and how to handle it.
Has it also helped you just understanding the million little things that are going to come across your desk? We didn't order enough t-shirts, or I forgot to do the, you know, the things that you, until you're in the chair, you're not aware. You just kind of think happen. And unfortunately, you're the one that has to make them happen.
Just registering. Yeah, 100% registering, making sure all the girls are compliant. One year with Iowa State, we were getting ready to go to nationals, and our scrum half, which is essentially like a quarterback, all of a sudden came up to me and was like, coach, this says I have to have 9 credits. I just dropped one, so I'm down to 8. What? How do we get 1 credit back? So we had to scour the, you know, the university books to find a, like a 2 half credit classes for her to take all of a sudden and become eligible. Like little things like that, that the kids don't take into account that you have to stay on top of. You definitely make a checklist. You know, you learn from each experience of an oh crap moment and go from there.
What were some of the biggest challenges at Simpson? You talked about private school stuff like that, but just kind of putting the foundation in place, what were some of the big challenges you had to overcome?
Resources. I mean, field space, all of that was a really big struggle. Simpson's a small school, and then, you know, they have a varsity soccer program too that, you know, they don't want us tearing up their field. We don't have another space. The football team has the football field. So it was really just scrounging for space while you were there was a hard thing, just the resources behind it all. Overall, they definitely funded the program well. So for the time of what it was, they funded the program well, but there just wasn't enough space for a men's and a women's rugby team, and with all of the other spring sports, was definitely a struggle.
How has the idea of being a rugby player changed as far as how other people receive? Like when you first started playing, was there a lot of you're doing what? And has it become a lot more, oh, that's cool. Like, you know, has the pendulum shifted over time?
Yeah, I think the contact aspect and the fact that wrestling is growing so much that it's not so odd now for women to be doing like this contact sport. Like I would have killed back in the day had wrestling and rugby been, you know, offered at my high school. Like that, I would have gravitated towards that. Like I said, I think people that play the sport are all a little weird. Like they, you know, to be any contact sport, like you're going out there and you know you're going to be hurting the next day.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned, I mean, for people that aren't, not a lot of pads, you wear a mouth guard,
yep,
right? But I mean, and this is, there's the scrums that I think people are most familiar, but there is a lot of high velocity collisions. Yep. Like, what are the most common injuries you see in rugby?
Honestly, like this year it's been like a lot of knee injuries, but even that hasn't been in contact. It's been more like outside at practice and, you know, just an ACL, one step the wrong way, like freak accident. I'd say concussions are definitely one, but the, you know, like rugby, world rugby's done a lot of like progression to like get away from the concussions. Like they've really tightened up like the tackling laws. They've tightened up like the ruck law. Like they've tightened up a lot of things to make it as safe as humanly possible. I would say like safer than football in the way that you have to wrap a player. You can't like shoulder check someone. You can't just shove them. You can't, like, you have to physically be wrapped up with them when you're going into contact and take them all the way to the ground. So they're working on things like that. And then obviously just like being tackled technique, like stuff that we can do as coaches to keep them safer.
From a preparation standpoint, how do you get ready for a season? Like, is it the focus more on strength? Is the focus more on endurance? And I'm talking purely physical. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, what do you do to get your teams ready?
Hire a really good strength and conditioning coach. we were literally at our Army. We had one of the best in Silas, so I'm going to miss him there. But it really is, it's endurance and it's strength and conditioning, because it's, you're getting hit, you have to pop back up, you have to run, you have to jog. And it's even difference between 15 and 7s, though, because 15s is more of a walk, run, jog, where 7s is a sprint, you know, type of a deal. So it just depends on the season, but a lot of it has to do with that running endurance, but you have to work in the strength with it of getting up with a body on top of you, you know, things like that.
What is your favorite part of coaching?
The kids. I bond with my girl, like my players, like and I genuinely bond. And like, that's my favorite part, is seeing like young women just come into this confidence of like, yeah, I'm a bad A woman, you know, like I'm just coming here to, you know, hit people, and like seeing them develop that confidence that probably took me till my like late 20s to like really start getting into tapping into that. They're doing it at 16. Like, I just got back on tour with Eagle Impact Rugby Academy in Spain, and those 15 to 18 year olds were playing grown women, and the grown women were actually taking swings on them at times. And my girls were more mature than that. Like, they were sitting there like, I don't have to do anything to prove to you. And they went 3-0, and that's all they were there to do. So really seeing women, like, I love bonding with the girls. I love seeing them come into their own. And then, like, watching them, what they go afterwards is, like, my favorite part of it, the relationships you build.
You've been in town for 10 minutes, basically. But have you gotten a feel for, in the Philadelphia area, in the Delaware Valley area, like, how big is rugby here? And have you already started to kind of triangulate areas that you're going to look at, or clubs that you want to connect with, maybe have them become pipelines and stuff like that?
Yeah, I'm starting to get to reach out to some of the more local clubs here, but I have been like maybe 10 minutes been in town. My official start date was this Monday, and I'm wrapping up with Army this next Monday is when that kind of contract ends. So I'm looking forward to hitting the ground more when I get into an apartment, which I'm looking at a few after this interview. So maybe next time we talk, I'll be all settled in. But yeah, no, I'm excited to see all that Philly has to offer. I've had some friends that live here, and they nothing but positive things to say about it. So
what do you think will be a couple, we talked about challenges specifically here, starting a varsity program at a Division I school in an area you're not familiar with yet? Like, what are some of the big challenges you're anticipating facing over the next several months?
The traffic. It's terrible.
It's not going to go away.
This is not Iowa anymore by any means. No, I mean, besides that, it is just like putting in the ground miles, right? Going to the practices, going to the games, going, you know, meeting people, networking. And it's just stuff that doesn't happen overnight that you have to put the time into, you know, and I've done that a few different times now, so I'm not too afraid of it, but I am looking forward to 5 months from now where I am more comfortable in kind of that area. I won't be with the traffic still, though. I swear I'll still be traumatized with that. So,
do you prefer practices or games from a coaching standpoint?
I like both. I mean, like, the practices are prepping them for the games. By the time you get to the game, you can't do much anymore in rugby because there's no timeouts. So really, like, in the practices, you're having to instill in them, like, here's all these different scenarios. If something happens, what's our best bet? What if we're on this side of the field? What if we're on that side of the field? What if we're on this side of the 50, that side of the 50? And you have to instill those, because by the game time, they're not hearing me on the field. They're making those decisions on their own. So it's fun to instill the scenarios of practice for me. And then in the games, it's really fun to see what they kind of come up with, because some of it I'm like, we've never talked about that. Like, how did you even think of doing something like that?
When it comes to the positions and the types of players, are there groups that are more difficult to recruit and find elite players than others?
I think so. And I mean, like, this is my opinion. I'm sure other people would have different. But for me, that front row, which is like your bigger, stronger, like girls right up there, it's harder to find really high level elite fit, like ready to go front rowers. I think like in England, like your tight head prop is probably one of the highest paid like rugby people there, because they're harder to come by than a traditional 10, which is a fly half, which, if you ask any high school kid in the country, that's their best player. They're a fly half, and they're not always a fly half. So it's one of those things. I think the front row, though, for me is definitely, it's one of the harder areas to recruit and really get solid. Not just athletes, but also you're looking for good kids, right? Good humans. You don't want anyone coming in that's cancerous. So they hit all those criteria is a lot.
How did the door open to LaSalle? How did you become aware of this opportunity?
Golf Rugby Report posted it, which is like the biggest, like one of the biggest like rugby magazines. So did the Rugby Breakdown, which Jackie Finland does like exclusively like women's rugby also. And so just looking at it, like looking at the opportunity to build from the ground up, which I've done many different times, the Iowa Select sides, different things like that. It was really just super appealing and threw my hat in the ring.
When it's all said and done, what do you want people, once you've got this program cooking, what do you want people to take away from LaSalle women's rugby?
Honestly, championships and a positive culture. Like, I want like strong, independent women graduating from there, going out and ruling the world.
Kelsey McDowell, this was so much fun. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
And that will do it for this episode of One-on-One with Matt Leon, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love. Want to thank Kelsey McDowell, the new women's rugby coach at LaSalle University, for coming in studio and being our guest this week. Now, if you like this show, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, do us a favor, leave us a rating and a review. You can follow the show on X at @1onepod. You can follow me there as well at @MattLeon1060. Thanks so much for listening, and be sure to check us out again next week when we bring you another conversation with someone you should know more about.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.